there's something in your heart between you and the Lord. Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that he will not forgive.
Bring it to the cross, let it die so you can live.
Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross. Is there a burden you bear that's got you battered and bound? Are you struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel where you stand.
Lay it at the cross and take the hammer in your hand. Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross, nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross, nail it to the cross.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Let me get mic'd up here. It's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so thankful for having the privilege to serve God. This morning, you got to see some of the young people I get to work with often, and it's just a privilege to work with them. It's a privilege doing anything for God. So unworthy. It's just an honor. I thank you, Pastor, for all you do for our church, and thank you for the privilege and opportunity to allow me to preach. We read in the scripture here in Exodus chapter number 4. Hopefully you're still there. But a man named Moses, we're very familiar with Moses. We know a lot of his life. From birth on up, we know that he spent 40 years in Egypt, in the palace as a prince of Egypt, with the wealth, the education, that all that comes to a royalty. And then he spent 40 years on the backside of a desert as a shepherd. And God spoke to him out of that burning bush and told him, you know, I'm going to use you, Moses. Not as the prince of Egypt, not as the wealth that you had, but as the shepherd, Moses. As someone who's just been dealing with sheep for 40 years on the backside of a desert. And you know the story, he even told God, I can't even talk good. But yet he had the best education in the land. But 40 years in the desert would do that to him. But when God came to him, in verse number 2 of chapter 4, as you read, when Moses questioned and said, you know, I can't do it. They won't believe me. They won't listen to me. And God just looked at Moses and said, what's in your hand, Moses? I just want to talk this evening about that. What's in your hand? What is that in thine hand. Because it's not our talents, it's not our education, it's not our wealth that God's looking for. He's looking for what you got. And are you willing to give it to him? I see our young people sitting over here. I'm gonna preach to the whole congregation, but I wanna purposely and especially be speaking to our young people. So if you're in here and you're in school age or younger, I guess those that aren't school would be in the nursery, but in school age, would you stand to your feet? I just want to see you, see where you are. Those that are still awake, go ahead, stand to your feet. If you're in school age, I want to talk to you this evening. Again, I'm speaking to the whole crowd, but I want to talk to you that you have what God is looking for. You have what God's looking for. You may look at other people, and we were having people stand this morning, those that play the instruments, and you say, well, I didn't get to stand there. I don't have that talent to play the piano. Or maybe when you sing in the choir, you're not the one they call on to do the solos. Maybe you're not the one that gets picked first for everything because you feel like, you know, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the talent. But you have exactly what God's looking for. You can be seated. We see here in Moses, again, we can look at what Moses was given. And you could say, well, no wonder God would use Moses. I mean, he grew up in the palace. He grew up there in Egypt. He had the wealth, the education. But that's not what God was looking for. In fact, he sent him out in the desert for 40 years to get all that out of him. And then he came to him and said, Moses, now it's time I want to use you. Moses thought, me? You know, if God would have came to Moses there in Egypt, it might have been a whole different story. When Moses was 40 years old and God came to him, it could have been a whole different story to where Moses could have said, yeah, I see why you picked me. Look at the clothes I'm wearing. Look at the education I have. No wonder you picked me. That's not what God was looking for. 40 years in the desert, Moses thought, me? Me? Can't you find someone that could speak better? Can't you find someone who's more equipped, more educated? And God said, Moses, what's in your hand? A rod. Brother Corey was preaching a couple weeks ago. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. And I noticed something when he was reading the scripture. Same rod that we talked about that we're reading here, and we're going to speak a lot about this. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 9. Moses is talking about that rod. Many years later, a lot has happened, and we're going to go over some of that, but in Exodus 17, verse 9, and Moses said to Joshua, choose you out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. What took place from Exodus chapter 4 to Exodus chapter 17 to make Moses say, a rod? To, I'm going up that hill with the rod of God in my hand. Well, you know the story. We're going to just briefly go over that. But there was a lot that took place. There's a lot that Moses saw happen with that rod. Amen. In verse number, you're there in chapter number 4. In verse number 3, God said, cast it on the ground. It's just a rod. That's all I got, a rod. And I kind of happen to think maybe when God said, what's in your hand? Moses looked at his empty hand and said, I got nothing. But God said, look at your hand. What is that? A rod. A rod. That's what I need. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. So right off the bat, Moses thought, whoa, this isn't just a rod. When I use it for God, when I give what I have to God, God can do great and mighty things with it. You see, Moses took that same rod, When he went down before Pharaoh, God said, Moses, I want you to touch the waters with it. And that water became blood. Moses, I want you to take that rod and hold it out over the waters. And all the frogs started coming out of those waters. That same rod. That's all Moses said. Moses, that's all I got to give you, God. That's all I got to give you. Just stick in my hand. Just stand back, Moses, and watch. Watch what I could do with what you got. He held that rod up and caused the dust to turn to lice. He held that rod up and caused the hail to come. He held that rod up and the wind started blowing and drove in those locusts. Finally, after all those plagues that was involved with that rod of God, Pharaoh finally said, get out of here. Get out of here. You take all these people and you get out. They left town. They came up to the banks of this Red Sea. And the people started fretting. And Moses said, hold still. See the salvation of the Lord. God said, Moses, take that rod. Hold it up. And Moses took his hands, held that rod up, and the wind started blowing. The waves started moving. The sea, the great sea there, parted right in front of them. That wind blew across and dried up the ground to where they walked across on dry ground. Why? A stick. Was it the stick? No. Now, think about all these things that happened so far. Could God have done any of that without a stick? Yeah. All of it. He spoke the worlds into existence. That sea that he parted, he spoke it into existence. It wouldn't be there without the voice of God, and he spoke it into existence. But yet he said, Moses, use that rod. That stick that you gave to me, that you're allowing me to use in your hand, hold it up. And he did. They got through on the other side. He held his hands up. The sea closed up and defeated the whole Egyptian army. The greatest army, the most powerful army of that day, defeated them. In an instant, with a stick. The people started thirsting there in chapter 17. Before we get to the battle of Amalek, where he said, this is the rod of God. The people were thirsting, and God said, take that rod, and I want you to hit that rock. And all those people drank from water that came out of the rock, from the rod. When that battle came to Amalek, Moses said, I'm taking this rod and I'm going up on that hill. The rod of God. He didn't say my stick, my rod. I'm taking my rod in my hand. It changed his thought process on that stick. The rod of God. And he thought, I bet when he was saying those words, all these memories came back to him as he was holding that rod, and he realized the power that he had seen because he gave what he had to God. The great and mighty things that Moses seen with that stick because he gave it to God. And I say, young people, elderly people, middle-aged people, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? You think, well, I don't have the talent. I don't have the charisma. I don't have the money. I don't have this and that other people have. And that's what Moses was probably thinking when he said, I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. He's probably thinking, there's others better qualified than me. But God was saying, I want you, and I want what you got. I want what you have. Nothing more, nothing less. If Moses would have said, well, you can have me, but you can't have this stick. God said, well, I don't have all of you then. Now, in the hand of Moses, that rod would have just been a rod. He was a shepherd. You know, shepherds use their staff. They use it to, when a sheep fell over a ravine, they can take that staff and that hook, and they can reach down and help pull that little lamb back up. Sure, he could have saved a couple lambs' lives with that stick in his hand. They also used that stick to discipline. If he had that little lamb that kept wandering off, they you know, the story, kind of gruesome, but they would have to break that little lamb's leg with that same rod. It was a tool. Maybe as he was climbing some of the rocks and some of the mountains there, he would use that to help him steady himself as he was walking. Sure, it was a tool. Sure, he used it. Sure, he could have seen usefulness out of that rod. But when he gave it to God, there were things he never would even imagine. When he first threw it on that ground, it became a snake. The Bible tells us he ran. I never knew that was going to happen. It surprised him. I didn't know I was holding that. And boy, you'll be surprised when you see your life in the hand of God and something God does something great and mighty, and you think, whoa, I didn't know I had that in me. I didn't know I was holding that. I didn't know the potential of what I had, but I just gave it to God because God asked me for it. And I'm telling you this evening, God's not asking for what the person next to you has. He's asking it from them, but when he comes to you, he's not saying, hey, I want you to get what they have and then give it to me. No. Young people, God's saying, what do you got? Young men, what's in your hand? Young ladies, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What do you have that you can give to God? Because that's all God wants. That's all God wants. There's so many people that cower when it comes to serving God and say, we need people to serve God. We need people to step up. We need people to do their part. And people cower and think, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I wrote down, God doesn't need anything special. He wants what you have. Then he will do great and mighty things through you. Keep it, and it will be no greater than what you can make it. No greater. I got a stick. Is that all you want it to be? Is that all you want it to be? You keep it, that's all it's going to be. I wrote down some people in the Bible that had ordinary, average things that people thought, what's that? What good is that? What are these among so many? But yet give it to God. John chapter number 6. What are these among so many? They asked that question in this passage of Scripture. John chapter number 6 and verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracle, which he did on them that were deceased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answering, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You know the story. A little lad with a little sack lunch. Over 5,000 people were there gathered, the multitude of people there. And Jesus told them, you read in the other passages of Scripture, he said, go find out what we have. Go find out what we have. And when they had found out, they found that we just got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. There was this little lad here. And Philip said, what are they amongst so many? There's so many people. This is barely enough to feed this little lad. And that's all we got. But yet, the little lad gave it to Jesus. Jesus took it. He gave thanks. He broke it. And at the end result, over 5,000 people. He had them sit down in company. He kept breaking and distributing the disciples. They were giving it out. At the end, they were all filled. They had all eaten. They were all filled. And he said, gather up the leftovers. All that question got answered, didn't it? What are they among so many? More than enough. To get leftovers. Bring on some more people. We got plenty. 12 baskets full. You got any more people that are hungry out there? God can feed them with the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. But yet, if that little lad would have said, mine, I'm hungry. This is for me. That's all it would have been. A snack. Eaten. A couple hours later, been hungry again. And they've been gone. But yet, today, we're still talking about those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Why? Because he gave it to the hand of Jesus. He gave it to God and said, this is all I got. They searched the whole congregation and they said, this is it. This is all we have. It's all I need. All I need. Elisha came to this widow in 2 Kings who had this problem. She had a problem, said that, I'm a widow. I have no money. I owe debts. And they're going to come take my boys away. They're going to come take my boys away. And Elisha just asked the question, what do you got? What do you got in your house? I have nothing save a pot of oil. It's all you need. It's all you need when you give it to the hand of God. It's all you need. That's all it took. She followed the plan of the God's man. And at the end, he said, now go sell it. And then take the rest and live. Outside of that, she would have lost her boys. She would have starved to death. If she would have kept that pot of oil to herself and said, nah, God can't do nothing with this. It's hopeless. God can't do nothing with this. If that would have been the case, she would have had a pot of oil. When that would have ran out, it wasn't enough to pay the debts. It wasn't enough to do anything. When that would have ran out, she would have died. Likewise, another widow that Elijah went to visit. God says, there's a lady preparing a meal for you. He came to that lady. When he found that lady, you know what she had in her hand? 2 sticks. 2 sticks. She said, I'm taking these sticks. I'm going to build a fire. I'm going to cook the cake of just a little bit of meal and oil that I have left. He said, give it to me. You take those 2 sticks. You do like you said, but you give it to me, the man of God. But that's all I got. Give it to God. She took those 2 sticks. 2 sticks now. Made a meal with just a handful of meal and a little bit of oil in the cruse. The Bible says because she did that, it never ran out. It never ran out. The meal always was there. The little bit of oil was always there. Every time she needed something, God took care of her because she gave it to God. So all God needs is what she had. Isn't that something? You'll see this over and over and over and over in the Word of God, young people. When God says, I need somebody. I need something. It was always what that person had. You got exactly what I need. Rahab, she wanted to save her house. She wanted to save her house. She lived there in Jericho, and she knew that the Lord of Joshua and the children of Israel was the Lord. She's heard about him. And so she helped those spies, and they said, what do you got? I got this cord, scarlet thread. That's all it takes. If she would have kept it to herself, if she would have said, you know what, this, it's no use. God can't do nothing. God can't help me. So all she would have had is a scarlet thread. All that widow would have had was a handful of meal, a little bit of oil. She would have made one cake, and done as she said. We're going to eat it and die. And that's what would have happened. We wouldn't even been recorded. Why would you even record that? We wouldn't even know about it. That would have been passed a long time ago. But thousands of years later, we're still hearing about that little bit of oil, that little bit of meal, because she gave it to God. We're hearing about that scarlet thread because she said, you know what? I'll use it for God. She lowered those men down with that rope and saved them. What about Shamgar? You heard about Shamgar, one of the judges? You heard about him back in Judges chapter number 3? God said, what's in your hand, Shamgar? An ox goad. A little pointy stick. It's what a goad is. You know what a goad is. It's something you prod and get the animals moving. Come on, ox, move. It's all you got. A goad. That's all God needs. He was able to deliver Israel and slew 600 Philistines with that goad. Why? Because he gave it to God. Because he gave it to God. Over and over and over in the scripture. Young people, listen. God doesn't need more than what you got. He's just looking for willing. Willing people. As we heard the pastor preach this morning, he's not looking for, well, when I get older, then I'll have more to give to God. No, he wants what you got right now. He wants what you got right now to say, you know what? I have this, God, and I'll give it to you. Some of you young people say, you know what? I can be here. I can be faithful. And I can usher. That's what God wants. Some of you young ladies saying, I got the talent to play the piano. I can do that. I can give that to God. That's what God wants. Some of you young ladies say, well, I can hold the mints in the back and with a smile on the face say, welcome to church and hand out some mints. Well, that's what God wants. He wants what you have. He wants what you have. And when you give it to God, you'll see great mighty things. Just like Moses would step back and say, whoa, that was in my hand the whole time? I had that in my hand the whole time? Yes. But it was just a stick until he gave it to God. And then it became something great and mighty. When Moses went up on that hill, he said, I'm taking that rod of God with me. The most famous one was a young lad named David. David was a shepherd boy. David played the harp. Obviously, he knew how to use a slingshot. And when David went to that battle that day, he wasn't going to fight. He didn't grab his sword and his armor. He didn't grab any of that. He just went down to do as his father said, to check on his brothers. But he saw an enemy. And he willingly said, I'll fight him. With God on my side, I ain't scared of him. God defeated a lion, defeated a bear. He could defeat that old dog Philistine. Saul said, here, take my armor. I'm not using it. I'm in here cowering like everyone else. Take my armor. Take my sword. Take my shield. David put it on him and said, it's not mine. This ain't mine. God doesn't want me to use Saul's armor. God doesn't want me to use Saul's sword. God doesn't want me to use Saul's shield. Put it off. I can't go with these. I got a slingshot. In David's hand, what is it? It's a slingshot. But when he says, I'm going to use it for God, that was a giant killer. That's what it was. You guys know the story. He took that little slingshot and this giant who was armored up. He had a shield bearer before him. He had his spear. He had a sword. He had all that there ready for battle. And David's out there. No armor. No shield. No shield bearer. No sword. A sling. 5 stones. But he says, I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. This is God's battle. And God's going to take you down. And that's exactly what happened. And we read about today. Giant fell down. David took his own sword, the giant sword, the Goliath sword, and cut his head off. And battle was won. The great victory that was brought. Why? Because he says, I don't have much. But in the hand of God, my, what God can do. My, what God can do. All throughout this congregation, you have people that can stand up and say, look what God did with my stick. You have pastors, missionaries, people who said, I didn't have anything but a rod. In my years, I've seen God do great and mighty things with that. It wasn't talent. It wasn't charisma. It wasn't all these things. But God took and took what I had and blessed it and did great and mighty things. Stuff that would cause you to just go back and just weep and think, wow, I had that in my hand. It wasn't until you gave it to God. You're looking at a man here that when I was called to preach, it scared me. People that knew me when I was young, I was the introvert of introverts. Quiet, shy, last person you'd think would be a preacher. In fact, I can remember when I was, some of my earliest memories of going to church. They took me in, I go to ride the bus, went to Sunday school. And I cried, and was such a disturbance in class because I was crying so much that they would have to take me out. I disturbed the class. Not because I was misbehaving, I was bad, I was just scared. Introvert. And again, this is my earliest memories. I can't remember all the details, but I think I was taken to the Educationally Slow class because they just couldn't deal with me in a regular class. They had to put me in there. My brother still makes fun of me that today. You went to the slow class when you went to church. I did. And when God called me to preach, I thought, me? I think you might have been wanting to talk to the person next to me. You know, pass the phone now. They want to talk to you. You ever do that? So you answer the phone, that's for you. That's kind of what I felt. And God was speaking in my heart, nah, I think it's for you. God said, no, what's in your hand? Ain't much. But I told God, God, you can have it. I can't tell you how happy I am that I made that decision. How happy I am as a young man. Had your own dreams. You think you're going to do this and that. But yet I said, God, can you use this? God said exactly what I need. And God's talking to you today. I know there's some young person in here probably in my same situation of thought. No way. No way. No way God could use what I got. But yet, I want to remind you, God used a stick. Look at what God did with that stick. Aaron held his stick up. It would do great, mighty things. Why? Because Moses said, God, it's yours. People are thirsty. What's in your hand, Moses? The stick. Hit the rock. God, what do? There's a sea in front of us and Pharaoh's army behind us. What's in your hand? The stick. Has it failed you yet? Not as long as God's been power in it. Not as long as I gave it to God, it hasn't failed. And we heard the story of Corey when he was preaching, as he took that rod and he'd hold his hands up. What happened? They were winning. Anytime he put his hands down, they'd start losing. But two other people got involved and said, hey, something about that stick. Hold it up. We got to help Moses hold it up. And Aaron and Hur took and got on both sides of him and held his hands up. Get his hands up. Get that rod of God in the air. And they had a great victory that day. But it all started when God said, Moses, what's in your hand? I don't know what you have. Again, this is for the older people too. What's in your hand? Maybe you're newly saved, and maybe you've been in church and you've been wondering, what can I do for God? I want to get involved. I've heard preaching, and God's been speaking to my heart about getting involved and doing something for Him. What can I do? I don't have anything. God's saying, what do you have? Widow lady, what do you have? Nothing. Save a pot of oil. What do you have? And you could say, I have nothing but this. This is it. That's all I got. And God says, bingo. That little widow lady that was there giving her offering gave everything she had, two mites. But yet God used that lady and her giving to tell a story that we're still talking about today, and to give the example of real true giving. We still talk about today, recording the eternal words of Scripture. She gave more than all of you. But she took what she had, said, this is it. But I'm giving it to God. Now you can keep what you have. Maybe you do have talent. I'm not saying everyone here doesn't have talent. I think we have lots of talent in here. I think we have lots of charisma. I think there's a lot of people that people can point out and say, God can really use them. And yes, God can if you give it to God. But if you think it's in your skill, and if you think it's in yourself and your pride saying, no wonder God picked me, God can't do much with that. But if you humble yourself and say, God, whatever I have is yours. Whatever I have is yours. They may be talking about that. When you're long gone, they may be thinking, wow, look what that person did for God. Look what that person did for God. I've seen a quote said, the greatest use of your life is to use your life so that the use of your life outlives your life. Let me say that again. The greatest use of your life is to use your life so that the use of your life outlives your life. When you're long gone, what you've done for God is still impacting people. But it only happens when you give your life to God. When you give what you have to God, God says, I can do something then. I could do something with that. But as long as you say, God, I'm full of pride. I'm full of this. You got to take me this way. You got to work with me, God, on my schedule. You got to work with me on how I want things. No. It's not how God works. Humbly, before God, say, God, it's nothing. Can you use that? Just stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still, as Moses said, when he was about to hold that rod up. He's about to hold that rod up over that sea. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Not look what I could do. Remember this old stick that I turned into? No, he just said, watch what God does. Watch what God does. Let's all stand.